Welcome, and thank you for standing by. I would like to remind you that the conference call is being recorded. You may begin.
All right. Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the DESA call on the 22nd of September 2011. On the call today, we have Mike O'Connor, Damak Rafik, Andre Thompson, Olivier Crepin-Leblond, Scott McCormick, Katrina Sataki, Takeru Sumasur, and Greg Aaron. Our staff, we have Glenda Saint-Jury, Julie Headland, and myself. We also have apologies from Cheryl London-Hall, Jörg Schweiger, Don Blumenthal, Wim de Gazelle, and Bart the Single. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thanks, Natalie. You may know Natalie's voice, some of you. Natalie has often helped us out on these calls when she was part of the team at Verizon, and it's great to have you with us. We'll take a moment to give people a chance to tell us about updates to their statement of interest, and then we'll take Olivier's comment. All right. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. Olivier Crepin-Leblond for the transcript record, and also speaking for the transcript record on the chat, Rosetta Mattioli has mentioned she is on Adobe, and she was not mentioned in the roll call. Thank you.
Ah, thanks for catching that. That's evidence of Mikey not keeping track of the whole screen at once. All right, we're going to continue our conversation about what's in and what's out of scope. But I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to reverse the agenda, and this time, dang nabbit, I don't care how few people are on the call. We're going to accept or not Greg's proposed refinement to our to the scope part of our charter. And so I'm going to just share that. I should have had this teed up. I forgot. Oh, hang on just a minute. But while I'm doing that, if anybody would like to comment about that, would like to get us to the point where we're... There it is. I knew I put it somewhere. Right there. There's Greg's thing. People read that okay? If not, I can make it bigger, but you'll have to then scroll around a little bit. This is just to set the stage. This has been out on the list for, I don't know, 3 weeks, I think. Maybe a little longer than that. It's been discussed on our call 2 weeks ago, and at that time there was a sense that this was fine. But we have a rule that we like to review things on two separate calls just to give people a chance to comment. And I've put two calls out to the list, not gotten a whole lot of conversation. So unless there's a late-breaking concern or change, I'd like to put this to the group for sort of the final nod, and then if we have approval, I'll put it out on the wiki as one of our consensus documents. So this is the time to have this conversation, and I'm looking for comments. Not hearing any. Last chance. Going once. Going twice. Getting an it's fine from Andre, and I think we'll call this a thumbs up. Okay, that's that. Thanks, folks. I'm going to close this if I can remember how. No? Okay. Back to this. Okay. Continuing on, this is just for those of you who haven't seen this before, the process we're going through is we're taking a look at the major threats categories that we came up with in Singapore and since then. And we're just using that refined definition of scope to decide which things are in and out of scope. And the ones that are green are ones that we've looked at and decided are in scope, and the ones that are red are ones that we've decided are out of scope or perhaps in some cases belong as sort of subcategories of another one. And the ones that are white in the first two are ones that we're at some time going to circle back around and discuss a little bit more. So today, we're working on this one. Oops, I'm clicking on the wrong version in the screen. And I'm gonna make this a little bigger so that you can see it better. I wanted you to have the whole picture for just a minute. And all of this is out on the website. Probably the easiest version of this to see is the PDF version that's out, because that shows the tree, and you can expand and contract it, and you can look at the colors and all that. So in the indirect category, we have five that we came up with at Singapore, and the email spam one is a little bit different than you might think. This isn't saying that spam is a threat to the DNS. What this is saying is that as we transition from IPv4 to IPv6, this notion that spammers jumping from IP to IP may create, in a sense, sort of a volume-related problem for the DNS, where a lot of lookups, maybe unintentional ones, and maybe some of the DNS caching processes may cause instability. This is, I think, pretty much a theoretical view. This was one that, but a member of the DSSA and a pretty smart guy about spam was talking about. So I guess with that introduction, what do people think? Is this an in-scope, an out-of-scope, discuss later? John Levine. Thanks, Olivier, for reminding me. John was pretty on top of this one. I'd be inclined to leave it in, at least to discuss, but I don't have strong opinions about this one, so I'd like to hear from other people. Hearing silence, which means my trolling with a tentative in, meets with people's approval, so I'll go ahead and do that, and maybe that'll get a bite out of somebody. I think some of these other ones are less likely candidates. The next one that came up as an indirect threat was the notion of front running. I pasted the pasted the definition from SAC22 in there. I'm not seeing this as a, by our scope definition, as a threat to the DNS. I see it as a problem at perhaps the second level, and even there, there's been a fair amount of controversy as to whether this is happening much at all. Again, I guess what I would do is tentatively propose out of scope for this one and see if anybody agrees or disagrees. I'm going to open up one of these windows because I just realized that I'm not seeing everybody. So since the agenda is exactly the same as the last several weeks, going to cover it up. And Greg is agreeing. So I think we'll put this one out of scope. And I'm going to move through these fairly quickly because You may think we're done, but I have news for you. We've also got a whole huge pile of vulnerabilities that we got to take a look at, and I want to try and get started at that today as well. So just put this one out of scope. I think the same goes for registration group abuse, cyber squatting, second level problem for sure. Oh, I should probably write our rationale. Hang on. Scope. Problem at the second. We certainly know that cyber squatting happens, but I'm thinking that other than that, the rationale is pretty similar, that there's a second level kind of problem. Oh, and John's on the call. Cool. Did you just join us, John? Did I just miss that you were there?
I've been here for 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, sorry I spaced out your name. I'm glad to have you here. I think I'll give this one an out-of-scope vote. Again, looking for howls of outrage. Next one is... Again, I think, this is a fairly old problem. Note the number on the SAC report, SAC number 3. That makes it old by definition. I think the one thing that sort of intrigued me about this is the randomizing of who is data. And I'm not sure that that's a threat to the DNS per se, but I put it in there to give you a chance to take a look at it and see what you think. Greg and others, you can speak. This doesn't have to be a monologue. Greg is typing in the chat for those of you listening to the transcript. I think he's going to freeze, but who knows? John, go ahead.
I mean, I agree. I mean, it's not a DNS threat. It's also something the IETF is currently scratching their head about, so I think there's no need for us to worry about it at this point.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good thing. You know, I'll add that to the scope statement. Greg is saying it's a policy issue but not a threat to the DNS. I agree with that, too. All right. So let's add those comments. Policy issue. To monitor that. Are you on that one, John? I would assume you are.
Yeah.
You want to kind of be our informal liaison, and if anything that you think applies to this group comes out of that, circle back and let us know.
I'm happy to do so, but I would be astonished if anything, if there were anything worth reporting.
Yeah, I think you're right. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. Okay, so we're going to take this one in the out of scope category. Apologize for how slow that is. The program I use makes me click about a million times to change color. And the final one is pretty similar. And so I think I'll give it the same pretty much the same reasons. Okay, so way to go us. We just finished a big deliverable, or at least we've done a first pass at a big deliverable. I think what I will do, it's all right with you people, I'll circulate this set of decisions to the list in a somewhat easier to read format and tee up two discussions. One is we need to circle back to the ones that we haven't decided yet. There's a few of them in this. And the other thing we need to do is give people a heads up that we have a tentative first pass at this and let people look at it, react on the list, etc. But wait, there's more. There's a whole nother pile of stuff to look at that I want to start today. And this is a fairly arbitrary separation by your scribe, that would be me, between things that are threats and things that are vulnerabilities. Now, vulnerabilities is not in our charter. It's not called out by name. And I want to sort of take a moment to take a look at this whole list and see whether any of these things should be in scope for our analysis. It could be that this whole pile is out of scope because they're vulnerabilities, not threats. On the other hand, our job is really to take a look at the security and stability of the DNS, and if any of these things strike us as things that we should look at and analyze, then I think we should go through the same exercise that we just did with threats and decide which of these are in or out of scope. So with that, Olivier, you want to kick us off?
Thank you, Mikey, Olivier, for the transcript. On the charter, 2.1C mentions that within the charter is the gaps, if any, in the current security response to DNS issues. Would that be a kind of vulnerability?
Yeah, that's true. That's a pretty good factor for this kind of discussion, because if nothing else, what we could do is start.
I mean, I understand it speaks of the response in there. It doesn't speak of the actual threat prior to a response, but in some way there is a vulnerability there.
Yes. And I think that one of the things that we could do is just as many of the other reports that we've looked at in terms of the background material, we could, if nothing else, start compiling a list of things that people should be aware of and places that they can go look. Some of these are pretty much standard best practices that you can find in things like ISO 27000 and PCI, the payment card industry standards, and we could start shuffling some of these into those piles. But I also think some of these might be worthy of analysis. So I don't want to just put this whole pile out of scope without a whimper. And my inclination is to essentially go through the same exercise we just did on the threats and take a look at each one, but before we do that, I want to give someone the chance to say, no, this is totally out of scope, and we can have the discussion at that level. But I'm not hearing anybody saying that, so unless somebody wants to throw their body on the tracks at this point, why don't we just quickly try to go through these and do the same in or out of scope discussion that we had on threats. We might be able to get through most of these today, and if not today, certainly I think one more call would do it. and then we can essentially publish our first draft of the major deliverable that we are teed up to provide in Dakar. So, I'm feeling pretty good about our progress, and I think we all deserve a pat on the back, by golly. So, here we go. Let me zoom in a little bit so you can see better. One of the things that came, this came out in Singapore, and there are lots more. Let me see if I should have done this before I started the call. But there are a whole bunch of, let me just get these down so that you can see the whole list. There may be more. What we started categorizing as business or technical process vulnerabilities. And over on the far right, you can see that, some of these are probably in and out of scope. Failure to renew a domain name registration probably is not in scope unless it is a domain name registration for a key piece of DNS infrastructure. And so some of these are probably out of scope for the same reason that some of the other things that we talked about, they happen more at the second level and are not so much a threat to the DNS. Clearly, if the servers that were authoritative on TLDs weren't renewed, that would be a problem. But I'm not sure that that's a terribly likely scenario. So there's a little prelude. What do people think about this as a topic of conversation? Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm sorry I joined late, so I missed the early discussion, but I'll just quickly say it's what you said, Mikey. I wouldn't take these things out as non-threats, but, they are threats to stability to the extent that they affect a TLD. And I think as long as we put them in context, then that's a good thing. They might not be significant threats, as you say, but I think it would be inappropriate to overlook them entirely.
Okay. So I'm fooling myself. I've got two copies of this on my screen. I've got the version that actually works, and I've got the chat room, and I click on that and nothing happens. So if we were to talk scope and say that this is in scope, but that we need to set the context appropriately.
So this is Jim again. Yeah, we need to set the context and probably need to, wordsmith some of these things. I mean, these things are worded in such a way that they seem to more directly apply to second-level names. I'm just looking up here at the second one up here, this transfer of the domain or change change in delegation. We just need to add some extra words in there, and for all of these things, we need to take a step back and look at them as a concept, and adjust the words for the scope to suggest that they apply to a TLD, not to second level domain.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. Any other thoughts from folks on this? Okay, so we'll put this one in scope for that reason. Carry on to the next. Infrastructure vulnerability. Oh, dang it. I'm really sorry that these pop open like that. Greg, go ahead.
So were you saying that all of the business and technical process vulnerabilities were in scope?
Not per se. I think we could do one of two things. We could either leave this one this way and thin that list out later, or we could thin that list out now. Because I think some of these probably are not.
Might as well get rid of them now, I suggest.
Okay. Why don't we quickly look for candidates to remove?
Well, transfer policy is about second level domains. So I think that's out.
All right. So let me take that one out. Put a little scope statement in there. No, I better write that better. Hold on. Okay.
Is the second one also about second-level individual domains?
I think that this is one of those ones that Jim is talking about, that it was this. A phrase was probably written with that in mind in SAC 49, but that a change in delegation, I don't know.
I'd have to go back to SAC 49.
Yeah.
But I think what this is if you have a domain name and you're transferring it, or it's in a some sort of an EPP status where you can't change the name servers on it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But that's a second level issue.
I'm going to defer to others who are smarter about this. Greg or Jim, did you want to?
Yeah, Greg is right. I mean, with respect to what he's saying, I mean, the lockout situation and what's going on there. I think guess what I was thinking is transfer generally is an issue that deserves special attention when it's a TLD and delegation. So there's a potential for a stability issue there. Which is generally dealt with process and the way that I can would vet those kinds of changes. But the issue which is described here and the reference to SAC 49 is exactly what Greg said, and it does not refer directly to, the context in which we're trying to work here. So this is an example of one of those things where I think we just want to step back and, tease out the concept which is being stated here. And apply it to a TLD.
This is Greg.
Go ahead, Greg.
I'm looking at SAC 49 right now. It's circumstances that result in the loss or disruption of domain name resolution. That can temporarily eliminate a domain name from the internet. And about hosting the failure of third-party DNS hosting providers. There's a fair amount in here. Jim, do you recall, is there anything that would affect the TLD itself?
Only if the, a transfer or a redelegation is not properly handled. I mean, that's the threat. That's the vulnerability. I mean, that's just standard DNS, operational stuff. So for me, that's the stability issue, and that's something which is managed by ICANN in its procedures as it affects these kinds of changes. So what's described here and the way it's described, as you say, is not directly applicable. We need to fix this so that it applies in the right way to a TLD.
So you're talking about the registry is not functioning properly, or it's not following an appropriate technical regime. for performing updates and disseminating DNS, that kind of stuff?
No, this is about change of delegation of the DNS for a TLD, of the authoritative services for a TLD. I mean, that's a change which is moderated, facilitated by ICANN, right? Because they moderate, facilitate all root zone changes.
Okay. That's actually something different than SAC 49.
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Okay. Maybe.
And I think that's where Jim is headed, is that, you know, the concept is right, but the words are wrong, that this is one that we need to reword. Right?
Maybe we shouldn't reference SAC 49 and just rewrite it then.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, that's where I was headed with this one.
Got it. I understand. Okay, thanks.
Something like that. So if you look at those bullets, does this capture the nuance of what we're talking about here so that 3 weeks from now when we come back, we don't forget? Is there anything in there you
so
want
this
to
is,
amplify?
This is Jim. It does for me now, but whether it will or not in 3 weeks, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I know. That's the trouble. Well, you know, usually if I have a few hints, I can kind of reconstruct it. And so we'll keep our fingers crossed. So I'm going to leave this one in scope as, and I think just to fix this a little bit. We are not going to get through this today, but this is a very good discussion, so I'm fine with this. Insufficient identity verification. I apologize. SAC7, and I haven't a clue what the concept was there. But I think it's the same notion that probably what they're talking about in SAC7 is not quite right, but again, this may be one of the ones that we want to take a look at rewriting. Has anybody just got SAC7 right at the tip of their brain and can remember what that's all about? We could leave it and research it later. I hadn't planned to go down this low, so for the next call I could have some notes out there so that we had a better sense of what was going on. Maybe we leave this one as to discuss later rather than try and make it up on the fly. The next one, bye for a big list, is coming, these words are coming from that registry failover document. And again, I just stole a whole bunch of words from there. This is clearly aimed at the DNS level. SAC7 is registrar automation, Jim. Is that what your comment is getting at?
SAC 7, no. SAC 7 is about domain hijacking. Oh. And I was actually pulling it up to look at it to see if I could figure out in my mind here how to relate it to what we're doing here, but we can come back to that. The registry failover. Again, you know, this becomes, in the same way that the delegation issue is an issue, we just need to put this in this concept here in context. Obviously, this is something which is, it's a vulnerability to the DNS to the extent that a TLD fails, and this whole thing is a process. This document that you're referencing here was SAC commenting on ICANN's plans for how to manage the failover of a registry and what it would do in terms of, you know, trying to affect that process. And I mean, that's one of the elements of a registry failover is the DNS services that it provides. And so that's what this is part of. That's probably the piece which we care about in this context, is that the DNS services are critical to a registry failing, and maintaining those while we affect some kind of transition is really the what we need for registrants, and it's a threat to the threat to the stability of the overall system.
Okay, so we'll do the same kind of thing here, unless somebody throws their hand up and says no, that we need to rework this. And put it in scope. Failure to renew a domain name registration was primarily, this is clearly about the second level. Are there domain names that, if not renewed, would break TLDs? That would be, in that case, it would seem to me it's the same sort of thing that we've been talking about with the other ones.
Actually, I think renewal is probably, it's not clear to me that TLDs renew, to be honest with you. That's an interesting detailed bit of process that I'm not certain about. I don't know that ICANN does the same thing with TLDs that we impose on registrars with respect to registrants at second level. So, I mean, it occurs to me that this is probably out of scope because I don't think it applies. But it's a detail that I don't know the answer to. Oh, well, Greg is typing in the chat room. Greg's talking about what's interesting is contracts are an issue. For GTLDs, you do have contractual relationships, and so there is a renewal process that goes on there. So maybe that's the way this needs to be characterized. It's not about a renewal of the domain name, although I suppose implicitly renewing a contract renews that TLD name. Yeah, so we just needs a little wordsmithing here to put it in the right context. So at least for GTLDs, CCTLDs, again, are a different kind of thing. So you have a similar kind of issue there, but it's not contractual.
Stealing stuff right out of the chat, so put these in here again as reminders. Okay, well, so we'll leave it in scope for now. And maybe we take out renew. So figure out how to wordsmith this. Because this phrase, failure to renew a domain name.
Yeah, call it a delegation. Failure to renew a delegation.
Yeah.
And then you should, under your scope, you should add one other sentence there about, you know, there are, of course, some differences between CCTLDs and TLDs. we have to find the way to say something about ccTLDs in this context too.
Greg, you're saying that this box here, just call it redelegation. For those of you listening to the transcript, I will tell you, this is, I am having a great time here. I just love this call. Ugh, I can't spell for shit. Sorry. Redelegation. Just confused. Okay. Okay, so maybe take this stuff out. Just turn this into taking things out. But we're going to confuse ourselves if we leave it in. But we'll do it like that. We'll have to, having done that, we'll have to come up with some content, but that's fine. We can handle it. Okay, so we're going to put that in scope. Registrar automation patterns behaviors. Boy, that's straight out of Singapore. If anybody remembers from the Singapore meeting what we were talking about on this one, TLD regulation, redelegation, you got it, Greg. I think I'm gonna tentatively put this one out of scope unless somebody can come up with an example of a registrar automation pattern or behavior that would impact a TLD. I mean that I can imagine an error where a registrar accidentally misconfigures something and perhaps somehow creates some sort of flapping behavior or something like that, but it's kind of a stretch for me. Has anybody got a problem if I take that one out of scope for now? Rosella says out. I'm with her. Okay. Non-renewal of domain name associated with a DNS name server is sort of a repeat, in a way, of the one that we were talking about before.
No. So this is Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
It is actually a different problem. The one up top is talking about the delegation, and it's about the service provider, the registry, actually managing its own delegation. In this case, it's about the name server that is used to support it. And if you're using out-of-bailiwick name servers, then a threat that you have to your service is that domain name going away. Now, this, again, is one of these things which, at the root level, is probably... you'd like to think it's managed a little better than average, but, you know, it's an issue. It's certainly a potential threat to the stability of the TLD as a whole. So Greg is talking about it being a second-level issue. It is a second-level issue to the extent that the name that we're talking about here is a second-level name, but it affects the TLD itself directly. And it's an issue if that name is out of bailiwick, so if it's outside the control of the TLD itself. Now we have two people typing in the chat room.
Well, and Mikey, I think. It's like, holy cow, wait a minute, people. Let's get some of this on the transcript. Hey, Greg, come up and talk to us instead of typing this. I mean, it's great that you're typing because then I can cut and paste stuff, but we need to get something on the transcript here. He's still typing. And Rosella, I think, is perhaps unable to speak. If it can affect the TLD, for me it's in. Oh, Greg, he's recharging his phone, you rascal. It's out. Okay, so, yeah, and Rosella is just on Adobe. So Rosella gets a pass, but that's a pretty lame excuse, Greg. Okay, let's circle back and describe this better. Jim, I if you could take me through the scenario again a little more slowly so I can capture it, that would be great. It's a second-level name that's out of the control of the registry.
The threat here is if the name of the name server that's used for the TLD authoritative services is outside of the control, meaning it's an out-of-bailiwick name for that TLD, then they are at risk of that name not renewing and disappearing.
It's that name outside
Correct.
Of their control. That's
right.
The problem. Now, hey, Greg's got his hand up. Oh, good
Thank
for you, Greg. Go ahead.
Found another phone. Thank you. Okay. An example would be, let's say that you have a .uk name. But you use HostGator for your hosting, right? So your name server is something like ns1.hostgator.com. And your domain name that you're hosting is godsavethequeen.co.uk. Okay.
Right.
If HostGator forgets to renew their domain name, or something bad happens to HostGator.com, the hosting will fail, basically, because HostGator is removed from the zone file, for example, and the domain name is going to go dark in .uk. Now, and that's kind of what Jim's referring to as an out-of-bailiwick issue. You've got a name server object in one registry serving something in another registry. Now, this is actually always been a problem that's in existence. It's just kind of the way DNS works. You can host, you know, things on name servers anywhere on any TLD. The effect of when this happens is on individual second or third level domain names, though. You have to figure out some policies in your TLD, you know, when you're going to pull things out of the zone or not. You know, like if you have a domain name that gets put on hold, do you leave any child name servers in the zone, or do you pull them? And different registries do that kind of thing differently. VeriSign had to change the way it did things recently because it instituted DNSSEC, actually. But it touches the TLD, but it doesn't affect whether the TLD is going to fail or not. The effect is on the second level domains, which is why I shade towards out of scope. Also, it's been a problem that's been in existence since the beginning of DNS, more or less. And it doesn't affect the stability or security of the DNS system itself, I don't feel. That's kind of where I'm coming from.
Jim, you want to come back?
No. I agree with him. I mean, I think we're all on the same page here.
I think that the point I'm hearing Jim make, Greg, is that that's all true, and that the only use case that we might be interested in would be if one of those names that went away was the actual name of a name server that was hosting. So, I mean, this is an improbable circumstance, but imagine that HostGator was hosting the DNS for a TLD. Isn't that the situation that we're talking about?
So, for example, if a TLD was using, I don't know, just pick an example, Ultra DNS.
Yeah.
And something happens to ultradns.com.
Right.
It's bold. All right. Then what you're saying is the TLD servers have a problem.
Right.
Okay. I understand that use case.
Yeah. And I think it's only that use case. Correct, Jim?
Well, that is certainly the most directly applicable use case, yes. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you be okay if we could describe that use case, Greg?
This is an interesting use case, and I understand what Jim's pointing to a little better now. This is perhaps a question of redundancy and diversity of a TLD's DNS. And this is how this is one of the ways that could be affected. So this is an interesting example, maybe of something. I don't know how we want to phrase it, but it's about having multiple, you know, name servers in multiple places using multiple things to keep your TLD running.
Right. And that might be a way we could put this. We certainly have a diversity in scope. Discussion of diversity somewhere in this pile already, and we could put this. We could move this as a use case under that to review about that as an approach.
This is the kind of refinement that's really helpful, I think.
Yeah. That an action. Not for now, but would that work for you, Greg, Jim, if we did that, move this under that larger topic as a single use case?
Yes. I'm good.
All right. So I'm going to put this as the scope topic. Amplify that single use case. Put these a little closer together. Example from HostGator, because I don't imagine anybody would use them. Hello. Just happened here. Oh, I see. that one goes away. That one goes away. Any of these go away that you hate me taking away, let me know and I'll put them back. I think that kind of refines our discussion better. Okay. Put it in scope with that caveat. This is great, but it's also taken us right to the end of the hour. So I think with this, we'll wrap this one up. Just a quick check. I have the sense that this is a very productive conversation and that we should continue it and just basically keep going. And I'm getting a yes from Jim and Rosella and et cetera, et cetera. So we will carry on with this next week, and I appreciate this great conversation. That's it for me. Thanks, all. Thanks, Natalie, for your help. And we'll see you in a week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Mikey. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Mikey.
Thank you. Bye.